Oh, I could be at full strength if I just... He swallows and my grip tightens on his wrist. But I won't. Not unless something triggers you. Unease rides the heels of the retreating shadow, sliding down my body and leaving goosebumps in its wake. That's the other reason I sent you with Garrick. Zayden tenses. In case I channel? I shake my head. So you don't. The last time you did, it was because of me. I'm a trigger. He flinches. You're not a trigger. You're the only thing I can't fathom losing. Wielding to protect you has always been an instinct, but now it's uncontrollable. I know. I study the healing cut along his arm, then lift his hand and kiss the center of his palm. Which is why you're going with Garrick. He carries serum, too. All right. He grips my waist. I mean it when I say you own my soul. You're the only place I feel completely like me anymore. You're not a trigger, he repeats, then steals another kiss and walks away. See you tonight. Tonight, I call after him. I love you. Warmth floods the bond in reply. The teams launch, and Taryn stomps down the beach toward me with narrowed eyes. Don't start with me, I shake my head as Atrum barrels past Taryn out to where the water covers his ankle, sprinting with wings tucked tight. She'll be back tonight. I'll say the same when you've been unable to communicate with your mate for weeks and are then deprived by choice, he grumbles, stalking into the woods. Swaying trees mark his passing. Humans don't mate, I call after him. Another sign of your inferiority. Wood cracks in the distance. Curmudgeon, I mutter, walking toward Riddick, standing at the edge of the water where the waves don't quite reach his boots.
I heard that.
Atrum skids to a halt 10 feet from Riddick, driving his snout into the shallows and creating a wave that rushes up the beach and over Riddick's shins. Why are you such a dick? Riddick flings his arms out sideways. I brought one pair of boots. I halt in front of where Andarna sleeps along the tree line. Like hell am I getting near the water, not when Zayden already wrapped my ribs today. Atrum lifts his head, then sprays water through his teeth, completely soaking Riddick from the tips of his hair to the toes of his boots. Yikes. I cross my feet and sit, resting my back against Andarna's shoulder. Not fair! Riddick wipes the drops from his eyes as Atrum walks from the water up the beach and disappears into the woods. I'm still winning! That doesn't count, he calls after his dragon. A pause and he yells, because we're on a mission. He shakes his head and slogs toward me, his boots squishing with every step.
Do I even want to know? He's getting me back because I won the last round, he flashes a grin. I bought enough itching powder to fill a bucket, then dropped it between his scales on the back of his neck right after flight maneuvers a few weeks ago. He had to submerge his entire body in the river to avoid everyone in the Vale knowing I'd gotten the best of him.
You guys are weird. I am suddenly very content with having bonded a grumpy old man, though I can't say what Andarna will be like in 20 years.
Are we? Riddick tugs at the laces of his boots. Or are the rest of you the weird ones?
He shrugs, yanking off his boots and setting them in the sand in front of Andarna.
Hopefully they dry out a little before we need to go. I'm going to get some fresh clothes on.
He heads toward camp, then grabs his pack and walks into the woods.
Don't get any ideas, I whisper to my sleeping dragon, laying my head back against her sun-warmed scales and closing my eyes.
The ground shudders.
I swear to Amari Tarn, if you spray me down with water...
The ground shudders again, and my eyes fly open. Sand jumps, water sprays, and in front of us lie fresh dragon tracks. But neither Taryn nor Atrum is here. Apprehension climbs my spine, and I rise slowly, favoring my ribs. I draw a dagger with my left hand, then turn my right palm skyward and open myself to Taryn's power. It seeps into my veins and hums along my skin as I sidestep around Andarna's shoulder to position myself in front of her neck, where she's most vulnerable. Heat gusts against my face, and the scent of sulfur permeates the air. Tern? I swing my gaze along the beach, but there's nothing there, just the shimmer of the morning sun on the waves.
I am busy with curmudgeonly things.
The sand 10 feet in front of me moves, forming a series of furrows like the beach is splitting. Like talons are flexing. Tern! My heart jumps to a gallop as the air before me shimmers, then solidifies into gleaming sky blue scales between 2 enormous nostrils.
Hold fast, Tern demands. I'm coming.
The dragon before me inhales, then draws back, giving me a full view of pointed teeth before they tilt their head and narrow their golden eyes. And Darna rustles from her sleep, and motion at the edges of my vision makes me glance in both directions, then stare. 6 dragons of varying scale tones fill the beach, and all of them rival the size of Sigale. Their massive claws dig into the sand as they lower their heads one by one. My breath falters. We didn't find the Irids. They found us. We did it. They're here. Steam gusts across my face and my stomach clenches. They're here and really close, with really big teeth. The one directly in front of us flares their nostrils, and a sound like a slide whistle fills my head, pitching from low to painfully high in less than a heartbeat.
Hello, human.
An excerpt from Colonel Kaori's Field Guide to Dragonkind. What we know about dragonkind is nothing compared to what we don't. Chapter 41. What in the actual fuck? I draw back and stare at the Irid, the knife loose in my grip. Dragons don't speak to humans they're not bonded to. Yet that deep, gruff voice definitely doesn't belong to Tern.
What is going? Riddick starts coming up behind me. Oh, shit.
Half the dragon heads swing his way as he runs toward me, while the other half keep their eyes and enormous jaws pointed in my direction.
Are we happy? He asks as he reaches my side in his bare feet. Are we scared?
I nod.
Why do you not answer me?
The dragon asks.
Perhaps the human female lacks intelligence, a high voice chimes in, and the dragon on the right lifts her head.
My jaw drops. Guess arrogance is a universal dragon trait.
She's just surprised, Andarna rises, but she leaves her head level with the others. And you're in her face.
To my complete and utter shock, all 6 dragons take a step back.
Thank you,
Andarna says. You speak our language? I ask the Irids.
We are magic,
the male replies like it's the most obvious reason in the world.
Did they disrespect your personal space?
Riddick whispers, then yanks his hands over his ears and flinches.
What was that?
It is rude to speak as though we cannot hear you,
the female says from the right. Riddick's eyes widen.
It is more offensive to lift a blade at us,
the snappy schoolteacher voice comes from the left, I think.
I don't know you, and I'm not going to let you hurt her.
I glare at the one whose scales flicker to green.
And you feel a dagger is sufficient,
her nostrils flare.
I believe you are right, Dacen. The human female lacks intelligence.
Rude. But she's right about the first part. I sheathe the dagger.
You are Irid.
The male in front of us changes the subject, his giant head tilting as he studies Andarna. Her scales change from black to the green of the jungle, then ripple to blue, mirroring the sky just like the male.
I am Irid.
Holy shit, Riddick says. Was that Andarna?
I think when they make that whistle sound, it connects you to the Irids, I mutter.
Yet you choose black as your resting color, the female asks Andarna from the right. It is acceptable in my home. She breathes out a huff. In Navar. The one diagonally to my left tilts their head.
She is the Criterion.
The other five flinch and draw back.
Is that a good thing?
Riddick signs. I don't know, I sign back, my heartbeat easing slightly as they give us a little more space. Wingbeats fill the air and the Irid's heads lift skyward as darkness falls on top of us. Taren lands hard, shaking the ground like thunder, his back claws digging into the sand to the left of Riddick and the right of Andarna. My heart stutters, and I can't decide if I'm more relieved that he's arrived or increasingly terrified at the thought of losing them both should the Irids attack. Dragons aren't exactly predictable, and I know nothing about the ones in front of us.
My human,
Taren warns, swinging his tail. Trees crackle and crash behind us as he snaps his teeth at the Irids. At least I think that's what's happening, but all I can see is his underbelly and the legs of the Irids. No! Andarna scrambles out from beneath him and pivots as though staring him down. They won't hurt her, they're my family! She turns in a circle. She's my human, too! My stomach twists. They might be her family, but she doesn't know them, and there's every chance they'll kill us all. We've been so busy trying to find them that we haven't given much thought to what would happen when we did.
Are humans so rare in Navar that you must share?
The female on the left snaps.
Do you not have another one under there?
A different voice asks. Something drips to the left, and my gaze jumps past a smiling Riddick. Atrum slithers forward at Taren's side, saliva dripping from his exposed fangs as he emerges from the trees. He growls low in his throat, giving a warning I don't need translated.
Mine. We have no interest in the humans,
the male declares,
and no quarrel with either of you. We've come only to speak to the Irid. Andarna,
Taren corrects him.
Andarna,
the female to the right says gently. Taren retreats step by careful step until Riddick and I stand between his front claws, his back ones filling the space his tail just cleared.
At least now we can see something before we die, Riddick signs, then shrugs.
We're not going to die, I sign back. My longing for Rhee and Sawyer to be here to see this equals my gratitude that they're not in danger. Taren's head hovers just above us, level with Atrum's. Clearly, he's with Riddick on this one. Andarna swings to face us, her eyes dancing with palpable excitement.
See? They won't hurt you.
I see, I nod, not wanting to kill the moment for her.
Oh my,
the female on the right gasps.
What have you done to your tail?
The one on the left reels back. Andarna cranes her neck to check her scorpion tail.
Nothing. It's fine.
My gaze jumps from Irid to Irid, my stomach sinking lower as I count from 1 to 6. They're all feather tails.
Tell us what they've done to you,
the male in front of us demands.
Done to me? I chose my tail.
Andarna's tone shifts defensively.
As is my right upon transition from juvenile to adolescent.
The Irids fall silent and not in a good way. The male in the center lies down and wraps his tail around his torso.
Tell us how you came to choose it.
Andarna lifts her head to her full height as the Irids lie down one by one.
Is this really about to be story time?
Riddick signs.
You know as much as I do,
I sign back. A corner of his mouth quirks as his hands fly.
First time for everything.
Wood crunches as Taren and Atrum take the same position, leaving us standing between Taren's outstretched claws. Andarna sits just ahead of us to the right, her tail swishing across the sand.
I blinked in and out of consciousness in my shell years.
We're going to be here a while,
Riddick signs, then plops his ass down in the sand.
I slowly lower myself to do the same as she tells her story to a captive audience. It's only when she describes presentation that the Irids begin to throw questions at her.
Why would you present yourself to a human?
No, they present themselves to us, Andarna's tail flicks, so we can decide if we should allow them to continue on to threshing or turn them into char marks.
The Irids all gasp, and Riddick and I share a confused look. I'm guessing they don't bond to humans.
Seeing as I'm the eldest of my den in Navarre, there was no other to object to my right of benefaction, she continues with excitement, and more than a little pride, which makes me smile. And so threshing began.
It's fascinating to hear it from her point of view.
Why would you participate in harvest? The female on the left asks. It's just what we call it when we select our humans for bonding, Andarna explains. So I went into the woods.
You bonded as a juvenile?
The male to the right shouts. Taryn cranes his neck forward and growls.
You will not raise your voice to her.
Andarna turns her head and narrows her eyes at Taryn.
Do not ruin this for me.
Hurt stabs through the bond and Taryn recoils, his head drawing back to cover Riddick and me.
Ouch.
My chest tightens, but there's nothing I can say to him and no way to say it without chancing the rest of them hearing me. Andarna continues with our story. She tells them about Jack and Orin, about how I defended her, about Zayden and the rebellion.
So naturally, I slowed time, she tells them when recounting the attack in my bedchamber.
You used your juvenile gift for a human?
The female on the left questions.
I don't like her, Riddick signs.
Me either, I respond in kind.
For my human, Andarna tilts her head. She is part of me, as I am of her. You undervalue our connection.
The last bit reeks of adolescent snark.
My apologies, the female says. Damn, this breed apologizes,
Riddick signs, lifting his brows.
Maybe we should have held out.
I roll my eyes.
Do you not bond humans?
Andarna asks, and I lean forward, resting my forearms on my knees.
We do not live with humans,
she answers.
Is it just the six of you?
Andarna's head swivels to look at them.
There are hundreds of us,
the male to the left replies, speaking for the first time.
Please, continue.
The swirl pattern in his horns reminds me of Andarna's. Maybe they're from the same den. More than an hour passes as she conveys every detail, as if forgetting one facet might alter whatever is about to happen. When she starts to tell them about war games, then Resin, my muscles tense, and I fight my own memories from interceding, fight the inevitable wave of grief that rises when she speaks of Liam and Day.
And so I flew into battle, she pounces up on all fours.
There's more than one set of narrowed golden eyes.
And Violet channeled my power,
two of them inhale sharply, and my stomach full on knots. I don't think this is going as well as she thinks it is, I sign to Riddick.
Why? She's incredible, he signs back. Brave, fierce, vicious. Everything the Empyrean respects.
But the way the Irids look at her says otherwise.
And we slowed time so that she could strike,
Andarna tells the story with an enthusiasm that belongs on stage.
But it was too much magic to channel, and I was still small. My body demanded the dreamless sleep.
By the time she brings the Irids to the present day without mentioning how we're trying to cure Zayden, several hours later, they've all stopped asking questions. In fact, they lie in eerie silence as she finishes.
That's why we're here, she says, to ask if you'll come home to fight with us, to see if the knowledge was passed down of how the Venon were defeated during the Great War, or if you know how to cure them.
Her tail flicks with expectation.
And I'd like to know about my family.
The male in the center narrows his eyes on me.
And you allowed her to channel as a juvenile? You took her into war?
My mouth opens, then shuts as guilt settles on my shoulders. He's not saying anything I haven't questioned of myself.
It was my choice, Andarna shouts, the female to the right sighs, blowing sand down the beach. Show us your wing.
Andarna tenses for a moment, as if deciding, then flares her wings. The left one buckles, and she forces it to extend, but the gossamer webbing trembles under the effort.
It doesn't usually shake. I'm just tired from flying.
The female glances away, the sun catching on her curved horns.
We've seen enough. I can fly, Andarna snaps her wings shut. I'm just missing a second set of muscles and can't carry Violet. The elders said it has something to do with the delicate balance of wind resistance and tension on my wing and her weight on the spinal discs that run under my seat. But that's all right because we have Taren and he works with me every day, and the elders too, and when I get tired he carries me, but only on long journeys.
She glances down at her harness and shifts her weight nervously.
Please permit the effrontery of our need for a moment of privacy, the male in the center says.
They're so rudely polite. Andarna sits, the Irid's voices slipping out of my head. The six of them walk into the water, their scales changing to colors only a shade darker than the ocean.
I think we're blocked, Riddick signs.
I think so too, I reply. Andarna's head angles toward us, and I offer what I really hope is a reassuring smile. A moment later, three of the Irids launch straight for the water, then disappear into the sky.
That's not good, I sign. Maybe they're just going to get the others, Riddick signs slowly.
The three left are the quiet male with the horns similar to Andarna's, the one from the center, and the female from the right. They walk toward us, their scales changing back to shades of pale blue as they emerge from the water. My chest constricts. They could have the answer to everything, or they could be as clueless about our history as we are.
Did I pass the test? Andarna asks.
The slide whistle sound plays again, and I wince as it screeches so high I'm sure my ear is going to bleed.
Test? The male in the center asks, peering down at Andarna.
You were just testing me, right? To make sure I'm fit to visit our den? Where is it anyway?
The hope in her voice would cut my knees out if I were standing.
You were never the one being tested. The female sighs and looks over at me.
The hair rises on the back of my neck.
You were.
My head rears back and my stomach drops clean out of my body.
I'm sorry?
You should be. The female flexes her claws in the sand. You failed.
Taren growls, and this time Andarna doesn't stop him.
Violet has never failed me, Andarna argues, thumping her tail against the ground.
I slowly rise to my feet.
I don't understand.
The trio blatantly ignores me.
The fact that you defend her actions is a testament to their failure as a society, the male says to Andarna.
Riddick stands and folds his arms beside me.
Violet loves me, Andarna shouts, her head swiveling between the three of them.
She uses you.
The female's eyes fill with sadness, and the scales of her brow scrunch.
She took advantage of a vulnerable child. She used your power as an instrument of warfare, forced your premature growth, and look what you have become.
I fight to swallow past the rock that suddenly fills my throat.
You think I'm broken, Andarna hisses.
We think you're a weapon,
the male responds. My lips part and a rumble works its way through Taren's chest.
Thank you.
Andarna's scales flicker to mirror theirs.
It wasn't a compliment.
His words sharpen. Our breed is born for peace, not violence like others. He spares Taren a single glance before returning to Andarna. You are left behind as the criterion, the measure of their growth, their ability to choose tranquility and harmony with all living things.
We'd hoped you would return to tell us the humans had evolved, that they had blossomed under the ward stones and no longer used magic as a weapon. But instead, you have shown us the opposite.
I wrap my arms around my waist as he slices her, us, to the quick.
And dragonkind has not learned their lesson either. While you, the male in the center's gaze jumps to Atrum, gifted your human with ice,
he dares to shift his focus to Tern.
You armed yours with lightning. That's not how signets work,
Riddick argues.
And you?
The male lowers his gaze to Andarna.
Our very hope. Have handed this human something far more dangerous to wield, haven't you?
Official correspondence of General Augustine Melgrin to Queen Mariah. While the enemy's advance throughout Krovla makes it impossible to station a full riot at Suniva, we offer you 4 dragons and their riders. In the spirit of our alliance, you may expect a shipment of our most valuable resource, weaponry, to be used at your discretion. Chapter 42.
Handed me what? I blink in confusion. Riddick glances my way and I shake my head with a shrug. I haven't manifested a second signet from Andarna.
You have weaponized your magic, even your tail, the tallest Irid continues. You've become the very thing we abhor, the horror we fled from.
He did not. Rage brings my power buzzing to the surface.
She is not a horror.
I march forward as Andarna's scales turn black, unable to listen to one more second of this bullshit.
No, you are. The male cranes his head in my direction. She is but what you made her.
My nails bite into the palms of my hands and my chest tightens. I do not understand. Andarna's tail flicks over the sand in front of me, and I step back, respecting the boundary. You will not return with us? She asks. You will not help us achieve the peace you worship?
We will not.
The male lifts his head, and I follow his line of sight. Krod and Sigale are back, just in time to witness our complete and total failure.
We have watched some of your journey, and feel it is not peace you seek, but victory.
The male with the spiral horns stares at Andarna, but remains quiet. My heart starts to race. Oh gods, this is really happening. Our last hope is dwindling right before my eyes. We've risked everything and they won't help.
Peace requires the Oration Wardstone, which we cannot fire without you,
Andarna snarls.
I fail to see how that is a mutual problem, the female replies. Do you not care that people will die?
Andarna curls her tail high above her back.
Perhaps they should, the tallest male blinks. Perhaps the corrupted ones should devour the land in its entirety. Only when they are faced with starvation will they confront the evil they've become. Either they'll die off and the land will regenerate, or they'll confront the abominations they've become and change.
Change. My heart launches into my throat.
How do they do that?
Andarna asks, and apprehension trickles down the bond from Tern as wingbeats fill the air. Zayden and Garrick are almost here.
Their offspring could evolve, perhaps,
the female muses, watching Sigale and Krod land near the stream 20 yards away.
Others arrive. We should depart.
No, no, panic climbs my spine. We can't fail. This can't be it. Zayden and Garrick dismount on the black sand beach, high above the tide line, and Tern snaps his head toward Sigale. Whatever he communicates keeps the two dragons from coming our way, but not their riders.
Is that the Dark Wielder's cure?
Andarna asks, her head moving in a serpentine motion.
To evolve?
My breath freezes in my chest. The female's golden eyes narrow to slits.
There is no cure.
No cure. Her words hit like a physical blow, and my knees threatened to buckle.
If they trade their soul, surely they can get it back, Andarna retorts.
It is not a trade, the female lectures. The soul is not kept by the earth as dark wielders steal its magic. The power exchange kills the soul, one piece at a time. And death has no cure.
Zayden and Garrick keep their eyes on the Irids as they stride our way without their flight jackets, swords strapped to their backs, the perfect example of warfare.
His soul isn't dead.
Will you not at least tell us how the Dark Wielders were defeated in the Great War? Andarna asks, her words flowing faster like she knows her time is short.
Apparently, they weren't, if you're here asking, the female replies.
The male with the spiral horns watches Zayden and Garrick as they carefully cross behind Riddick and me, moving to my right side.
Our kind must have helped, Andarna tries again. I can burn Dark Wielders. Are we the key to defeating them?
Hopeless.
The tallest male backs into the water.
Leothan, I have heard enough.
The other male flares his nostrils.
I have not.
They can hear us through the bond, I quickly sign to Zayden. It's not going well.
He nods.
Want to catch us up?
Garrick signs, studying the massive heads lowered in our direction.
They think Andarna's a weapon, which is somehow a bad thing,
Riddick signs. They won't come back to help us and pretty much think we all deserve to die because we can't solve mankind's oldest problem of how to stop killing each other.
Got it, Zayden signs. And there's no cure for venom,
Riddick quickly continues, and it's all I can do not to grab his hands to stop him from saying more.
Their souls die, so there goes our save them to defeat them idea.
Fuck.
Zayden's head snaps forward as Andarna's talons flex in the sand.
You are magic,
the female says, a note of sadness in her tone.
And yet all you seek to use it for is violence.
You preach peace while only having known its privilege,
Andarna hisses in retort.
You are all a disappointment to me.
In that, we find common ground,
the tallest male says.
What an ass.
Tarn growls, rumbling the sand and vibrating the trees, and Andarna's scales ripple to the darkest black as she retreats to his right foreleg.
We have a long flight ahead, and there is nothing to be gained here,
the male continues, retreating another step into the water.
The world was not ready for you, and though it is no fault of your own, we cannot accept you.
I gasp and clutch Zayden's hand.
What's happening? Garrick signs.
Maybe it's best they not hear this.
Leothan may feel differently,
the tallest male glances at the other one.
But our majority has determined you are Irid in scale and name only, Andarna. You will not be allowed entrance to our isle, nor instruction in our ways. We part here and wish you peace.
Peace?
My grip tightens on Zayden's hand.
I wish I never met you,
Andarna growls. The tallest male crouches in the water before launching into the air, his scales shimmering for a heartbeat before he becomes the sky itself.
What just happened?
Zayden asks.
I think we lost,
Riddick whispers. Andarna's snout dips, and bone-splitting agony courses down the bond. But it's the shame that hits in the second wave that pricks my eyes.
Andarna, no, I whisper. You are fierce and smart and brave and loyal. None of this is your fault. You're perfect.
I am not, she snarls, whipping her head toward me.
You did not know she was a juvenile when you bonded her?
Leothan asks, his golden gaze studying the four of us humans.
I didn't, I answer out loud. I should have. But the hatchlings and juveniles are kept hidden and safe within the veil until after the dreamless sleep. Nobody has seen one for centuries, so we didn't realize that they're all golden feather tails until adolescence.
What is going? Garrick twitches. Fuck, that hurts.
Zayden grimaces, lowering his head and squeezing his eyes shut. I'm guessing they just got the slide whistle treatment.
The uniformity assures all hatchlings are cared for without deference to breed or den.
Leothan startles as Zayden looks up. The female recoils, baring her dripping teeth.
How could you align yourselves with this?
Weird way to say bond, but whatever. Again, I didn't know she was a juvenile, I argue. Blame me, not her.
Abomination,
the female hurls the insult, her eyes narrowing on Zayden. My head snaps in Zayden's direction and I gasp. The rims of his irises shine bright red.
Your kind is beyond redemption,
the female glares at Sigale, then disappears. Leothan studies Zayden for a heartbeat longer than fades, and waves rush in where they'd been standing. Wind from invisible wing beats gusts against my face, and I squeeze my eyes shut as sand blows all over us, their presence slipping from my mind just like before. When I open them, Zayden's eyes have returned to normal. Or rather, his new normal. There are still spots of amber within their onyx depths.
Fuck.
His tone could cut scale as his fingers slip out of mine.
You are not an abom.
He slams his shields down, blocking me out. Something heartbreakingly close to a whimper sounds to our right, and I look past Garrick to find Andarna retreating into the jungle, her scales shifting to gold.
Andarna!
I start toward her, but she blocks me out too.
I've got her.
Tarn rises over us, and his tail takes out a tree to the left as he stalks into the jungle after her.
Tiny and Molvik approach.
I can-
Only one of us is fireproof,
he reminds me, disappearing in the vegetation. My fingernails dig into my palms. I've never felt so helpless.
I'm guessing he's why you've been so hung up on finding a cure.
Riddick's accusation hits me like a bucket of ice water, and I snap my gaze to his.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, he nods at me. I saw his eyes turn red.
Riddick, Zayden starts, not a single word from you, Dark Wielder.
Riddick grits out, his eyes locked on mine.
Vi? You've got one chance to come clean and tell me what the actual fuck is going on.
An excerpt from Venon, A Compendium by Captain Drake Cordella, The Nightwing Drift. If possible, hunt the enemy during the day. Their markings are so easily hidden by the shadows of night that it would not surprise me to find they walk among us.
Chapter 43. Riddick listens to the shortest possible version of the story before the others land, and I promise to tell him everything if he can just wait until we get some privacy as Mira dismounts.
We have to tell them about the Irids first, I finish in a hurried plea. His mouth tenses, and his brown eyes narrow on Zayden.
Are the other four back yet? Mira asks as she walks into camp with Arik, her pack slung over one shoulder.
Not yet, Garrick answers from behind me, but we still have a couple of hours until it's fully dark.
Please, I whisper to Riddick as Mira drops her things near her bedroll.
Everything all right? Mira's brow furrows when no one answers, and her gaze flickers between the four of us before settling on me with an intense once-over that ends with her studying my eyes. Violet? My throat constricts. I don't know what she'll do if she learns the truth.
The Irids are a bunch of assholes who rejected Andarna, Riddick says, so it's been a rather shit day.
He launches into the story and my pulse slowly steadies.
How's Andarna? Mira asks.
Devastated.
I glance down the beach, but she and Tarn haven't returned yet.
I know we came in hopes the Irids would help, or at least fire the Wardstone. But she really just wanted to know her family.
Garrick's jaw ticks and Zayden folds his arms.
The others should be back soon, Riddick says. What do we do? Fly for Loisome tomorrow?
There's no point. I look to Zayden, but he keeps quiet.
Loisome has guards, but no army.
We can establish a diplomatic tie, but they won't help us win a war.
So what do you want to do? Zayden asks, the ocean breeze ruffling his hair as he looks over at me.
Gods, he really is beautiful. And not just on the outside. Everything about him, his loyalty, his intelligence, the softer edges no one else but me gets to see. Even his casual ruthlessness holds me in thrall. And whatever parts are missing, dead, according to the Irids, we'll live without them. He's still whole to me, as long as we can keep him from channeling from the earth, find a way for him to control the craving, we'll be all right. We have to be.
We should go home. Saying the words brings a sense of finality, of failure that stabs hard and cuts deep. Who knows what's happened in our absence? For all we know, the lines could have fallen and Theophany herself could be waiting in my room.
Court martials for all, Mira quips sarcastically.
Garrick nods and stares out over the water.
Technically, on the map, if you were to fly northeast for 2 days, you'd hit the cliffs of Draelor.
The Griffins would absolutely love that, Riddick scoffs. Can't you see Kirillaer snuggled up in Molvik's claw?
Only the larger dragons can fly 2 straight days, Zayden says. Tairn, Sigael, Molvik, maybe.
We go through the Isles, I decide. It's the safest route to get everyone home, as long as we camp on a deserted coast when it comes to Hedotis.
Pretty sure I'm banned there.
After the others arrive and our situation has been explained, Riddick shoots me a look that says he's done waiting to chat. Zayden and Garrick are less than thrilled when I take off with Riddick into the woods under the guise of hunting for dinner. Taking the agate sound shield rune Riddick carries, we hike about 5 minutes uphill into the jungle, staying close enough to find our way back, but far enough to assure privacy, thanks to Atrum's escort. The brown swordtail isn't just nosy, he's pissed.
I'm nauseous telling Riddick the full story about Zayden, remembering the entire time that Riddick was the slowest to forgive when I kept my secrets at the beginning of the year. By the time I'm finished, the light has faded into dappled patches of color and he's pacing in front of me, looking anywhere but in my direction.
I thought we agreed to tell each other the truth, his hands curl.
It wasn't my secret to tell.
I lean against a tree and watch Riddick's short trek back and forth in front of me.
I know that's a shitty apology, but I'm not sorry for keeping Zayden safe.
That's not an apology, Vi. He pauses in front of me, a million emotions crossing over his face too quickly to name.
He's right.
I'm sorry I couldn't tell you. But if anyone finds out, they'll lock him up like Barlow, or worse, kill him. I fold my arms.
He lifts his eyebrows and cranes his neck forward.
And there's not a single tiny speck of you that thinks maybe they should?
No, he's not evil, I lift my chin.
He's not him, either, he counters. That's why you stepped between us and Hedotis. He's not fully in control and you know it.
Are any of us ever in full control? I start.
Don't do that, he points his finger at me. Not with me.
He's not Barlow. Not even remotely close. He's never hurt me. He's only ever channeled to save other people, first at Bezgaeth, then at a battle across the border, and then when Cortland tried to kill us in Devarelli.
I leave out the slight discoloration on my headboard. That's a line I am not crossing with Riddick.
Holy fuck. He's channeled 3 times?
Riddick's eyebrows fly upward.
And managed to do it on an isle without magic?
I had a piece of alloy in my conduit.
Oh, well, good to know you can keep him fed like Barlow if you need, he scoffs.
That's why you've been keeping Barlow alive,
Holy shit, Violet. Do you have any respect for your own life? Or is it just Ryerson we're concerned with now? He's never hurt me, I repeat. And he's still an initiate. He doesn't need to be fed. The word tastes like ash in my mouth. As long as he doesn't do it again, he'll stay exactly how he is now. A dark wielder, just like the silver-haired one stalking you, Riddick starts pacing again. My head draws back. He is nothing like her. Bonded to one of the most vicious dragons on the continent, he continues, ignoring my defense. That's awesome. He doesn't control Sigale. I watch as Riddick pivots and starts the trek all over again. In fact, she barely speaks to him right now.
I don't blame her either, Riddick says after a pause, agreeing with Atrum.
And she's kept this from the Empyrean. He stops to my right, then slowly turns to face me. Who else knows? Other than Zayden and me? Garrick, Bodhi, and Imogen. Riddick blinks. That's it? Just the five of you? And now you. Well, at least the club is exclusive, he says sarcastically, then shoves his hands into his hair. And they're all loyal to him. Well, yes, I shift my weight. He's the one we're trying to save. He rolls his eyes at the canopy.
Fuck me. How did we get here with the secrets again?
His finger shoots up. Never mind. I already know. Ryerson. Again.
I sense a theme.
Basgaiath would have fallen if he hadn't killed the Dark Wielder's sage, I remind him. What he did give us, give my mother, was time to imbue the Wardstone. We'd all be dead if he hadn't channeled for more power. The continent would have fallen if not for him.
Only to become the very thing we're fighting, he shakes his head.
The irony of it exists on so many levels, especially when you consider that he's the fucking Duke of Tirindor now. His arms fall to his sides. He could tear our kingdom, our province, apart from within. He could deliver us to the Venin on a silver platter. Barlow is nothing. We have a Dark Wielder sitting in the Cenarium.
Is that all he sees him as? Just another Dark Wielder?
He's on our side, fighting our battles. I push off the tree. He killed more Venin after the battle than any other rider, remember?
How can you be sure he's not playing you? His brow furrows.
Because I know him, my voice rises.
All right, Riddick nods excessively. I'll play along. Let's say he's still 80% Zayden.
90, I counter.
He shrugs. There are four ranks to Dark Wielders, and your man's already channeled three times. I think 80% is mathematically generous. But sure, we'll live in your delusion for the purpose of the hypothetical. How long do we have until he's an ASIM? Until he's physically unable to deny the call of a sage?
If he doesn't channel, they always channel.
Ice forms at his fingertips.
Just because I like to crack jokes doesn't mean I'm not serious about reading the same shit you do. There are no accounts of initiates just walking away from the power.
That's why I have to find a cure, my voice breaks. They just told us there isn't one.
His arm swings toward the beach. And I've had about 5 minutes to process that information. Anger and fear war for control of my emotions, and both bring my power to the surface, sizzling my skin. Everything I've done over the last few months, from securing the deal with Takaris for books to searching for Andarna's kind, has been in service to the continent, but also to find a cure for him and hearing from the most likely source that there isn't one. I shake my head as the heat rises within me, growing exponentially with my panic.
I don't know what to do with that yet. I don't have all the answers, Riddick. I just know that I have to find them, whether they're in a forgotten book or some Dark Wielder's head, because I've lost Liam and now Traeger and my mother to this war, and I'm not giving up on the man I love.
Power snaps within me and flares outward. Lightning slams into the tree behind Riddick, and thunder booms instantly, shaking my bones.
Fuck! Riddick shouts, covering his ears and whirling to face the tree.
My heart stutters as the trunk splits down the middle and the halves waver, then fall. I lift my fingers, summoning lesser magic to soften the crash, but the heavy pieces are no match for my skills in this area. The halves smack into the ground in a line before us, then erupt into flame.
Damn it. Riddick flings his hands outward, and a thin sheet of ice races along the halves in both directions.
The flames sizzle and die.
Now Ryerson is really going to kill me. Riddick mutters, but the joke falls flat. He turns my way.
Thank you. I gesture to the embers, then sigh.
And I'm sorry.
For which part?
All of it.
The admission is a little stronger than a whisper. He nods.
I will save him. My throat tightens. And not just because I can't fathom living without him.
I'm selfish when it comes to loving him, and maybe a little self-destructive lately.
You think?
He gestures to the tree.
But if I don't save him, my voice drops. If I don't cure him, and he...
I can't say it.
I keep serum in case of emergency, but Riddick, we have to keep him on our side or this war is already lost. There isn't a rider alive capable of stopping him at full power now, let alone what he could become if he truly turns.
And don't say that I can, because the truth is that I won't. Even if I hone my signet to his level, which would take the years he's had, I could no more hurt him than he could hurt me. He is everything to me.
Riddick's shoulders dip.
So where's the line? At what point is he too far gone for you to defend him?
My mouth opens, then shuts.
There isn't one, not one he'd actually cross.
Really?
He lifts his brows.
What if he hurts someone you love? Will that change your mind?
He wouldn't, I shake my head. He hasn't in all these months, he won't.
He clasps my shoulders.
Not good enough. Give me a real logical line he has to cross for you to walk away, and I'll keep the secret. I'll help you scour every fucking book you can find. I'm here for the I'm gonna save my man at all costs mantra, and will be on your side in this horrifically dangerous situation if you can just acknowledge there's a breaking point. You can put all your faith in him as long as you leave a little logic for yourself.
I can't imagine not loving him. I bring my hands up to rest on his forearms.
Never said you couldn't love him.
He squeezes my shoulders gently. You can still love someone after you let them go.
But you have to tell me there's a line where you will let him go. Because if there isn't one, it's not just him we're going to lose, Vi.
My chest tightens.
I would never... Would you channel to save him? Or is that the line?
I swallow hard, remembering that breath of a second in the Wardstone chamber, where my power hadn't been enough to imbue the stone.
If it makes it easier, then pick a line where I can turn him in.
Riddick whispers.
Tell me now, when you think there's no chance it will ever happen. So if he ever gets there, the decision isn't on your shoulders.
Every muscle in my body tenses.
How about if he hurts Taryn or Andarna?
Riddick suggests.
You have to help me out here, Vi, or I'm walking straight to the only person I know will put your life above everyone else's on that beach.
Mira.
I try to look at the situation from Riddick's perspective, and it's anything but pretty.
Fine. Hypothetically, he'd have to kill another rider without cause or hurt civilians, hurt my friends, my dragons.
Hurt me.
I end in a whisper.
If he hurts me, then he's not him anymore.
Riddick nods, then touches his forehead to mine.
All right. Then there it is.
There it is.
I repeat.
His hands fall away and we start back toward camp.
Stop keeping shit to yourself, he demands. I don't want to have this fight again. The four of us are stronger together than we are apart. Don't fuck with that, even for Ryerson. If you're too afraid to tell Ree, Sawyer, or me about something you're doing because you know we're going to lose our shit,
then either you shouldn't be doing it, or you deserve to have shit lost on you.
Noted. I sigh. I miss them.
Me too. He slings his arm around my shoulders. Ree gives better lectures.
You did pretty well. A smile tugs at my mouth as we veer left around a giant tree the diameter of Tarn's leg.
And find Zayden on the other side, standing with one ankle crossed over the other, his arms folded as he leans his shoulder against the trunk. Riddick's hand flexes on my shoulder, but he doesn't let go as we abruptly stop. Zayden arches his scarred brow, taking note.
Quite the conundrum, Riddick says.
You see, if I drop my hand, it looks like we've been caught doing something we shouldn't, which we haven't. But if I leave it here, I'm not sure you won't go all blank face on me in a fit of rage and...
He drags his left hand across his neck.
Not helping, I tell him. I also don't want you to think that just because you're scary, I'm scared of you, Riddick adds, which I'm not.
You are. What did you decide? Zayden asks, his face a perfect mask of boredom.
You're not going to threaten to kill me? Riddick counters.
I don't make empty threats.
I reach out mentally, but Zayden's shields are still locked tight. Riddick tilts his head.
Meaning you wouldn't threaten before you killed me, or you wouldn't actually kill me?
Zayden half shrugs.
You pick.
Stop it. I look straight at Zayden, and his gaze flickers to mine, warming slightly.
She tells Rhiannon and Sawyer, Riddick demands, then pauses, considering. And Jacinia.
My heart practically stops. Have you lost your mind?
Is that all? Zayden asks, and I can't tell if he's being a sarcastic ass or a serious one.
I'd prefer Mira and Brennan, too, but we can start with the first three, Riddick states, looking at Zayden.
Everyone you've told values your life over hers.
That's not true, I argue. Everyone who knows has told Violet to run as far and as fast as she can, Zayden says, myself included.
Good to know, Riddick shrugs.
Ree, Sawyer, Jacinia. That's my only condition for keeping your secret.
That is not what we discussed, I hiss up at him.
We discussed our terms, Riddick says, then looks back at Zayden. This is between us. Jacinia needs to know what she's actually researching in case there's a way to slow your progression. Sawyer, Ree, and I are the only ones who can be with Violet during every class, and our dorm rooms are right next to hers. She's more than capable of protecting herself, but extra eyes don't hurt, considering what will come for her.
Zayden tenses.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Riddick nods.
My forehead crinkles.
Well, I don't.
If he progresses and turns fully, Riddick starts.
When? Zayden corrects him. Denial and I don't keep company.
Riddick's eyebrows rise.
All right, then. When he turns fully, or when someone with the wrong rank realizes what he's become,
they'll have to kill him for the very reasons you've already mentioned, Vi.
What is that? My stomach hollows as I follow his train of thought to its logical conclusion. Then, refills immediately with scalding anger. I drag my gaze to Zayden's.
Killing me is the easiest way to kill you.
Just like my first year.
I won't let that happen. Zayden's jaw clenches.
We won't let that happen, Riddick corrects.
You'll be off doing evil shit, wherever evil shit gets done.
My lips part.
Ree, Sawyer, Jacinia, Riddick repeats.
Not Atos? Zayden questions.
Dane specifically?
Absolutely not, I interject. He'll kill you.
He could try, Zayden replies. The attempt would certainly make things awkward.
I'm with Violet on this one, Riddick chimes in. While I am proud of how far Atos has come in the rule-bending department, he's not ready to graduate to this particular level.
Ree, Sawyer, Jacinia.
Done, Zayden answers.
But let's be clear. I don't care who she tells when it comes to her safety.
Good, Riddick nods, then rocks back on his heels and takes a deep breath.
Oh, and just so we're clear, that strike up there wasn't, he gestures between us, you know, us, he flinches. I mean, it was us because I pissed her off, but it wasn't us, if you know what I'm saying.
I fight to keep from rolling my eyes.
Well aware, Zayden replies, first because I trust Violet, and second,
he glances at Riddick in a dismissive once-over.
It wasn't a big enough strike.
Seriously? I scoff.
Huh.
Riddick tilts his head as if deciding something, then shakes it.
Nope. You and I are not back to dick jokes yet. Not that we were ever there. I'm still pissed.
You should be. Zayden pushes off the tree and walks toward us. And I'm making sure Violet's capable of killing me when the time comes. If it's between her and me, I choose her. Kill the other guy I become.
My eyes narrow on the beautiful asshole I've foolishly given my heart to.
It's not going to come to that.
Holy shit, is that noble? Is that twisted? I can't decide.
Riddick pats me on the shoulder, then starts back toward camp.
I've never been happier to be single. You two have some serious issues.
Garrick handled the hunting that you were supposed to be doing, Zayden calls out as we leave the trees.
Riddick throws a thumbs up as he walks down the hill.
Zayden studies my face, looking at me like he has to memorize every detail in this exact moment. I step toward him and he retreats, shaking his head once. My heart sinks.
You're going to put some space between us over the abomination comment, aren't you?
He flinches, which is as good as confirmation for me.
You're not, I start.
The other two Irids stayed, like they hadn't made up their minds yet, he interrupts.
And I think you had them, because you didn't know how young Andarna was at threshing.
His jaw pops, and he slides right back into that bored, unbothered mask he loves so well.
Then they saw me. I'm pretty fucking sure that this entire mission we've risked everything for just failed because of what I am. Because I'm here with you.
That's not fair,
I whisper. But it's true.
Shadows scatter around the edges of his boots, and he looks down toward the beach.
I've barely made it a month without channeling beyond Sigale.
He shakes his head.
Had it just been you and Riddick, or you and Dane, or you and anyone else besides me on that beach, there's every chance you'd be on your way to whatever isle they've claimed, that Andarna would have a chance to know her kind, that they'd agree to come back and fire the Eration Wardstone and save my city, save my entire province.
He drags his gaze back to mine.
So yeah, I think the abomination comment and what it represents requires taking a moment of space for us both to consider the undeniable fact that I am the worst possible thing for this mission, for my province, and for you.
My heart hurts for him, for how guilty he feels over something he can't control.
All right.
I fold my arms across my chest and debate whether to fight or comfort him, then decide to go a different route. Facts are considered. I don't need the moment. You would have been on this mission regardless of our status because of Taryn and Sigale. It's ridiculous that they passed judgment on you without even hearing you speak. But that's a statement on their character, not yours.
And if you need some space to sort that out in your mind, fine.
I tilt my head at him.
But it doesn't change a single thing about the way I love you.
His hands flex.
I turn away from him and start back toward camp. Let me know when you're done brooding, and we'll see how big my next strike is. Until then, we're flying home tomorrow.
The Griffins are exhausted, and it takes us 10 days to reach Devarelli, where we spend an extra day fixing Andarna's harness when a piece of metal snaps. Zayden keeps his distance the whole damn time. Andarna is barely speaking. Kat is heartbreakingly silent to the point that I wish she'd take a verbal jab or two. And I'm about to break under the weight of failure.
We use the day to chart our path over Poromiel
choosing a route that brings us ashore between Cordon and Dreyfus in order to minimize our chances of encountering Dark Wielders. By the time we launch for the continent, Mira's asked me at least a dozen times if I'm all right. And though Dane has the annoying habit of continuously measuring how far Zayden and I sit apart with his eyes before meeting my gaze, he smartly keeps his mouth shut. I scan our surroundings for Venon constantly during the flight, too scared to sleep in the saddle. Every glint of sun off a lake makes my stomach lurch, and every distant thunderstorm has me gripping the pommels. Logically, I know there's no chance Theophany is aware we're beyond the wards, available for her to pick off at will. But she shouldn't have known I'd be an Anka either. Either our flight plan pays off, or Theophany chooses not to attack. And though we fly over patches of drained land, we make it to the wards without so much as a patrol of Wyvern intercepting us. The ease of it only serves to make me more anxious. We spend a night under the stars just within the wards to evade the arrest for court-martial we all know is coming, and fly into Besgaeth 3.5 weeks from the day we left. There's no sense of victory as I unload Tarn's saddlebags on the flight field, not even with having secured an army to come to our aid. The overwhelming failure of losing the Irids feels like mold growing on my tongue, souring everything I drink and eat, infecting my words and the very breath in my lungs. The disappointment festers and spreads until I feel wholly, completely rancid as I dismount onto the muddy field. And Darna flew straight to the Vale. She didn't even speak as she disappeared over the ridge. Her sorrow hurts most of all.
Violet! I turn and am immediately devoured by Rhiannon's hug. Her arms close tight around me, and I drop the pack to return the squeeze. Maybe it's the sound of Kaori yelling at cadets across the field, or the scent of Rhi's hair, or the simple fact that we're back yet not home. But the enormity of what we've lost immediately pricks my eyes and clogs my throat.
I really missed you. How did you know we were here?
Fjerg told me you were headed in, so we ran out of dinner. I'm so glad to see you. Rhi pulls back with a watery smile.
Are you all right?
I open and shut my mouth, unsure of how to answer the question.
Rhi!
Riddick slams into us from the side, wrapping us both in his arms, 2 weeks of beard growth scratching the side of my face.
Fuck, did we need you on that trip. Violet was out of control. She kicked a queen's ass and poisoned Zayden's mom and all three Hedotic heads of state, but secured us an army.
Rhi huffs a laugh as he sways us back and forth.
And what did you do?
Not much. Put out a couple of fires. Punched a cook. He lets me go, then yanks Sawyer into the embrace when he walks over, leaning slightly on a cane.
This is good. This is right.
Glad you're home, guys, Sawyer says, his face squished down next to mine thanks to Riddick.
Me too.
I relax into the hug.
There they are. Get over here, Riddick shouts, still in the embrace.
Marin laughs and runs to my other side, working her way in, but Kat just sighs as she walks over.
No exceptions, Riddick declares, then tugs Kat into the circle between him and Sawyer. Sweet second years, together again.
He lets us go, but we stay circled up. Rhi's gaze jumps from person to person like she's counting, and her smile falters.
We lost Traeger, I tell her softly.
What?
Rhi recoils, her face stricken. How?
Sawyer's shoulders fall.
Zelna, Kat answers, then clears her throat. Arrow to the heart. But we got an army out of it, so.
Her voice breaks and she clears her throat again.
I'm so sorry, Rhi says, her gaze swinging from Marin to Kat.
We are too, Marin whispers.
And we failed.
I say it out loud for the first time, looking Sawyer then Rhi straight in the eyes.
We found the Irids, and they won't come.
We failed.
Shit,
Rhee's face falls entirely.
That's disappointing to hear, given the current political climate.
We break apart and turn toward General Atos, who stands a respectable distance from Tairn, glowering at us. He doesn't even glance at Dane as the others make their way over. Zayden pauses between Garrick and Drake, and our gazes collide for a heartbeat before we both focus on General Atos.
Court-martial coming in 3, 2...
We will discuss your punishment for disobeying direct orders later.
General Atos glances at Drake.
It's too bad you were born on the wrong side of the family.
His gaze snaps to Kat.
The good news is that you're one step closer to your throne.
Kat blanches. Serena? My stomach plummets and I spot Mira white-knuckling the strap of her rucksack.
Is that your sister?
Atos asks, reaching into the pocket of his uniform and walking toward us.
Yes,
Marin answers so Kat doesn't have to.
Ah, right, the infamous flyer.
Atos retrieves a missive and hands it to me without really answering Kat or Marin.
This perplexing read came for you about an hour ago. Looking forward to discussing it during your debrief.
I clasp the parchment, noting the broken seal.
Is Serena Cordella alive?
He's cruel to drag it out like this.
Last I heard, she's fine.
Atos glances meaningfully at the paper.
Thank you, Amari.
Kat sways, taking in a deep breath, and I unfold the already opened missive.
What happened?
She asks. My skin chills.